to bring them here to help mold their mind into your word. We pray as we study here from Genesis that we'll study in accordance to your will, and we might learn some of your knowledge and what you teach us and the examples that set forth here in Genesis and the rest of the Old Testament. Our Father, we're thankful for all the blessings you bestow upon us, and we're most thankful that you sent Jesus. And this is a prayer in his name. Amen. I'll read first the first six verses of Genesis 7, and then we'll talk about those six first. It says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth." This is the story of Noah's deliverance, and the world's judgment continues here in chapter 7. It says many years, it has been many years since God had commanded Noah to build the ark. I've got a sister that just went up the Cincinnati area to see the ark that's built. She said it was just awesome. Justin Moats is here, and he's heading up that way to see it. So it's something that's in our area, supposed to be a duplicate of it, of what the ark is. Now, whether it is or not, I don't know, but according to my sister, it was just awesome to see, and the stories that go along with it. But here, Noah, over a number of years, he spent building the ark. It says that they were the only ones that was righteous. And no way of knowing how many was alive at that time, but all the estimate was it must have been in the millions of people that were alive at the time of the flood. And there was just only eight that was considered righteous enough to be saved. And it was obedience. It wasn't that obedience of building the ark that made him righteous. I think that's important to point out. He didn't become righteous because he built the ark for God. God chose him to build the ark. Why? Because he was already righteous. Right. He was already a righteous person, and that's why he done that he chose him. In the Hebrew, literally says that God commanded Noah. In other words, meaning he commanded him. And this is where it gets interesting in here in verses 2 and 3. It says sevens of all clean animals and the birds also in the ark. He used the seven, and it looks like it using it plural. And I got to turn and find where I wrote it down. That's the way it is here. This is the New King James I read from it. I've got an old Bible that I bought at an auction sale. It's a New Standard Reference. Very, very old. It's from the English Bible translation of 1611. And it says, "Of ever clean beast thou shalt take unto thee by sevens," with a plural, "the male and his female, of the beasts that are not clean, by two, the male and his female." The King James, which some of y'all might have, just a straight King James has it, says, "Of ever clean beast thou shalt take to thee the sevens, the male and the female," and goes on. The NIV is a little different. and the English Standard is just a little different. But in all of them, they use the seven as plural. So I get that it means that there were 14 of the clean animals, which there was a male with his female. It was made 14. Of the unclean, there was a male and his female. Just the two. There's a reason I think that he used a lot more of the clean animals than he did of the unclean. Why would he need more of the clean animals than he would need of the unclean?
For food.
Sacrifice.
Remember, we'll catch that as we get a little further along the study. They used it for sacrifice, and they also most likely had to have food somehow in it. And the clean animals, because we lose track of him for a long period of time, they had to live on something.
And this is another thing here that's interesting, that God always lets man know kind of what to do. In Leviticus 11, that's when we learn about clean animals and unclean animals. Mm-hmm. So, but this was going on, so they knew about sacrifices and the importance of that before the Mosaic Law in Leviticus. They knew about clean and unclean animals and the purpose of those. And that's why I think Harvey said,
Well, now at the end of it, when they first thing he does after he gets out of the ship, but that's another story. After he gets out of the ark, what's the first thing he does? He does a sacrifice with what is considered unclean animal. So God here in the beginning separate the difference of what is clean animals and what is unclean, but then he makes a direct thing to the Israelites. Sam.
I always consider that the extras were for food as well, but we don't actually have it recorded until after they're out that he allowed them to eat meat.
Yeah, anything we do, we guessing.
Right.
We got to guess, because we'll get into that Wednesday night when we get into chapter 8, because we go through those 5 months or longer that we don't know anything that went on.
Well, God could have maintained them without food had he chosen to.
Yeah.
Sam almost covered what I was going to say, but it's not until Genesis 9 that we're authorized to eat meat.
Yeah.
But that's just a chronology of the way somebody's written it.
Yeah.
In reality, in time and faith, could have authorized them eating of meat there.
Cover what Brother Arthur just said. Sometimes as we read within a chapter, we might just cover a day. Sometimes when we read 3 or 4 verses, we might cover a number of years. So that's just how the writing is, and you study it. But like I say, there's a reason that he put a number more of clean animals than he did unclean. Everything else that we do on that, we're speculating, like till they get out of the ark, and then he does sacrifice the clean animals. But we do know, as was said by Brother Jim, Israel was then given in Leviticus 11, 1 through 47, and Deuteronomy 14, 3 through 20, what the sacrifice of the clean animals and into great detail of it. But from the beginning, God had what he considered clean animals and unclean animals as he put them here in the ark. Anyone else on that? Because that's something that a lot of people have trouble with, and we will talk about it just a little more later on it, because they say, well, look here, here's a contradiction right here, one back of the other that we'll get into. It starts raining in 7 days. Okay, that's what it held him. That's 40 days and 40 nights. This shows that how Noah was a righteous man, because it said then that Noah done according to all that the Lord commanded him in verse 5. That's a very short verse, but that's a very meaningful verse for us, you know. He done everything that he was commanded to do. Brother Dwight?
We don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but we need to consider how long it took Noah to load all those animals in that ark.
We're going to get into that too.
Yep.
We'll get into that too. It says then, the Israelites got in trouble. Why? Because they didn't obey God's commands.
Right.
You know, he promised them a lot if they would obey his commands, but they didn't do it. Same thing with us. We got commands to obey to get God's reward, but the trouble is we have problems obeying those commands. Brother,
another point that comes up sometimes in studies is whether it was just a local flood there, but it emphasizes in two occasions in the passage we just read there that all of the earth, I haven't done about the translations, but it must have been the entire globe.
Okay, anybody else before we enter 6 and 7?
Johnny, Ecclesiastes 5:4 reads, if you vow a vow to God, you better keep it. Verse 5 says it's better not to vow a vow with God and not keep it. So I know what his vengeance is in Ephesians 12:19. I don't want to be on that side of him. I don't think any of us do.
That's one of them deals we go along with what Brother Dwight's saying is you don't go against your conscience. Your conscience is not always right, but you should never go against your conscience. But a command... The command is a different thing. God has command, you don't have any choice. But to obey it, or it's what?
It's sin.
It's sin. If it's a command. I'm going to touch on 6 here, but I got them together, but I stopped there. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. Need to remember that. He was 600 when the flood waters began to come on the earth. We'll talk about that later on as how old he was. It tells us that one of his sons was about 100 years old, according to chapter 10 and verse 21. And I'll throw this in what it's for. After the flood, it doesn't never mention whether Noah of them has any other children, even though he lives another 350 years after the flood. But it doesn't mention any more children except for the three. So, but remember the 600 years old when the flood came. Anybody else got anything on the first 6 verses of Scripture before we go on? Okay, Noah and his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and his three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And then went into the ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I emphasized a few things in there on purpose as we get to it. Here it tells us that Noah did as God instructed him in the second and third verses. There is no discrepancy here between 2 and 3, as some like to describe it. Here it's speaking of 7 pairs, which is 14. It could go in 2 by 2. 1 pair, it go in by 2 of the unclean. So there's not a discrepancy like a lot of people like to say there is between verse 8 and verse 2 and 3. Verse number 10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the water to flood were on the earth. Here he is ready to loading of the animals, and he did it in 7 days. You know, that's one of the main things out of all this that I wonder about. Did it take him, and it's just curiosity, did it take him 7 days to load all them animals? Or did God just command them and they all just flowed right in there?
You
wonder. I wonder because it, 7 more days after he told him that they were going to go in. So we do know it waited 7 days and God done what he said. He started the waters and the flood. But, you know, herd and cattle, you can run a bunch of them in one area. Brother Jim.
Well, in verse 15 it says, so they went in the ark to Noah. They went to Noah.
Yeah, I emphasized that on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, of course, God definitely had a hand in it. I think Noah was there, but they come to Noah.
Yeah. But how did they go in there?
Verse 9 says the same thing.
If you ever try to herd a bunch of wild animals and everything, you have a 4 men would have a hard time out in the middle of wherever to run all that many animals if it's 7 or 8 days or how many in there. God commanded them animals to go in there. I'm sure Noah was standing right there, but he said he could command to God, to Noah, God did, which meant God put them animals on that ship. Without God's help, Noah would have been a heap of trouble, because I've been an old farm boy trying to herd cattle and sheep and pigs and stuff, and it's hard to do. You can't just have a few.
Especially cattle.
Yeah.
Especially cattle.
They're really. God designed the ark when it was built and laid out to where it made it possible, probably easier for them to go where they needed to go.
Yeah, because it was in layers, high, but. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that Noah ain't the one that put them on the ark. God made them go on the ark, man.
Yeah, back in chapter 6 in the last half of verse 20, it says, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. Yeah. And I'm just picturing, you know, Noah, we know he was a preacher of righteousness, that he was preaching to the people and they weren't listening. And he's telling them it's going to rain. And then I can't help but think about all these people around seeing him build this great big ship and then see all these animals come in, you know, in pairs. And you see them all coming in and people standing there thinking, what is going on here? Yeah. And what a sight that would have been.
Amen.
It wasn't just the people that they're around, but the predator and prey, those natural predilections that they have were canceled out as well.
Done.
Well, back in chapter 2, where the Adam was commanded to name the animals, it says in verse 19, out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and weary, and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. So here he's bringing animals to Adam too. So that may be the same way he did with Noah.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I can't remember exactly how it goes. It's a long time ago when Red Foley wrote the song about where he would speak of gentle animals laying down with beasts.
With beasts, right.
And everything. So this is the perfect example of it. God put the effect on these animals for it could come there and go in.
Well, in chapter 9, verse 2 says, the fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky. With everything that creeps on the ground, all the flesh of the sea, into your hand they are given. So mankind, or Noah, had superiority over these animals. He could command them. So I mean, that's how I see it, that they were going to do what he said. So I think it would be different than herding cattle today. My cattle never listened to me unless I had a bucket of corn.
But the bottom line is God done it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
God done it.
Yeah.
Got one for God. They wouldn't even been there at the ark. Yeah.
But I think there's not one of us here that hasn't questioned the, why did he have to bring those mosquitoes?
Yeah.
Going to tips.
Yeah, I questioned that yesterday afternoon. But anyway, we spent a lot of time on her, but the bottom hand is that God got them there, and they all, because they were scattered everywhere, and he got them there, they loaded them, and 7 days the rain came down, and once again it tells us that Noah was 60 years old, and the floodgates and the rain of the sky and the fountains of the deep coming up from the ground. Where I live is a perfect example of the coming up from the ground. And us living in Bowling Green got a perfect example of it. Lost River comes up out of the ground. One time it was considered the deepest and the shortest river in the world. But since then they've learned that there's like three or four other that are deeper. But the water comes straight up out of the ground and runs and goes back underground.
Sinking Creek up in Greene County is the same thing.
I've got a cave in 200 feet from my house. You can hear water running down in it. But when it comes a lot of rain, it goes filling up. 200 or 300 feet down, it covers an acre or so of ground of water. It comes up. As rain comes down, a lot of it, the water's come up. So that's to me what it's saying. And they're saying a lot of it was watered by springs in that time instead of rain, or it hadn't even rained. To me, that's the really a lot of faith, because it hadn't even rained yet to this time. Right.
When you think about the faith of the story, Noah, like you said, there hasn't been rain. And like Matt said, there's all these bizarre things happening that everybody's witnessing. And honestly, anybody can read this story from a human perspective and be like, right, that's crazy. Yeah. That could never happen. Because we can't see that happening in our day and time. So the same idea of the faith of Noah goes as well with us. I mean, when we read this, it seems like a fable. It seems like a crazy story that could be in a kid's book, you know? Like, it could never happen. So we have to have the same sort of faith that Noah had to read this and trust that God did these things. Whether every inclination in our mind tells us there's no way physically that could happen.
Right.
You know, we have to have the same kind of faith that Noah did.
The finite mind cannot understand this, but the infinite mind who created it can. We're not, I don't think there's any way we could explain to ourselves all these happenings with common sense. It's just, you've got to give faith to the one who created it.
So, we'll get Jim and then we'll go on, because there's no doubt about it, the animals all put in the ark and everything through God. But Jim?
Well, this thing about the flood, there have been writings in all countries and all cultures, even in the Quran, mentioning a flood. So this, you know, if you go back in history and all the archaeological, there was a flood, and people recognize it in all cultures from all the way back. So it's hard for us to understand it. I mean, we can understand it. I mean, just like Jesus raised from the dead. We can't understand it. We read it and know it.
It comes from our faith. We got to have the faith.
That's right. It comes from the strong faith.
I got something else I want to add into this. What we on verse 13, I think, is a very important point. On the very same day, Noah's son, and then all it tells us is Noah's wife and his son's wife. Didn't even mention the four women by name, you know? Didn't even mention them by name. But notice, he didn't mention Job's wife by name. Many times it gives a man's name, but it doesn't give the woman's name. But we got to remember, those four women were righteous also, or he wouldn't save them.
Right.
He saved all those women. And I say this because not everybody here knows who I'm talking about, but those that know what I'm talking about, when I think of Brother Spinks, I can't keep but thinking about Sister Lucille. And when I think of Brother Durrell, I cannot keep from thinking about Iona. They were the first two elders at West End, and when West End began, they were the two elders that began. And Brother Spinks, everybody talks about what Brother Spinks done, but without Sister Spinks, you know,
she was
with him in the whole thing. I think of the two together. Same thing with Brother Durrett and Iona. I think of the two together. And behind every good man, in most cases, there is a good woman that's helping him to get to be there.
Especially in a Christian family.
Right. And I wouldn't be nothing hardly without my wife, and I have to throw my mother-in-law in there on it. My mother-in-law helped set me straight.
Except you.
Yeah. Yeah, my mother-in-law, she just keep throwing that out there to you. She done the same thing with her kids and with her grandkids. Women have done a lot, and it's been solid in most cases. But it continues to mention their wives, and their wives are very important in this story because they too were so righteous. It says, Noah and his son did not have... this is where we're going in this in 14 and 15. I don't think they had to herd the cattle. I think they went right in calm as they could be into the ark because I think that's what God done for them. Went in by two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Those animals, the male and his mate. You know, if you just think now, there are a lot of eagle, a bald eagle. And I didn't know that both of them are about the white head, and the female's a little bigger. But eagles are smarter than most human beings because they mate for life. Yeah. They don't. They're not no other. The two eagles are mates for life and everything. And so are a lot of other. I can't prove it on Bob White's, but Bob White's, I'm pretty sure, mate for life. One of them dies, the other doesn't get another mate. So they went in by twos into the ark. Anybody else on those, anything on the first 16 verses of Scripture? Because I don't want to miss something that we don't talk about or study because I'm human and I'm capable of doing that. Nobody? Okay. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth. And the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every man, all in those whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all. Give me a second. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. My son and his cousin decided to build them a boat. And they got together and they worked hard at it and everything. And they built that little old boat and they put it out on the pond and they went all over and everything. But they had a younger cousin who decided he was going to go out on the boat. They hadn't done as great a job as they thought and the boat sunk. So they had to go out and get it. So this boat that Noah built over all these number of years, never had it ever rained before. There's no... nothing that says that he'd ever even seen
one drop.
Yeah, yeah. And he built his ark where it floated, and it floated. I'm having a little trouble with my throat, so I'm sorry. He floated. Branson, Missouri. Just happened. The ship was out. The rough winds. I've got one, but I hope I don't have to use it. The rough winds, and it sunk. 17 died, and from the wind. But here, this ark, it came up and it floated. And you can imagine for 40 days, 40 nights, how rough it had to be in from all that water coming up and going. I've been up at Kentucky Lake, and I mean, you think you're going to sink on that lake and everything. I saw your hand first, and then.
Okay. I was just going to say, not only would it have been rough, like, feeling those waters, but I just think about God killed every living thing on the earth, so Noah and his family are in the ark, and I can just imagine, once it starts raining, all of their neighbors coming up to the ark, like, okay, we believe you now, and you could just, like, I can just imagine them being able to hear it, and even if they were the only righteous people, God, or Noah obviously cared about these people, because he was preaching to them, and to be able to hear them. Like, I don't know if he did, but I can just imagine that happening.
But they couldn't have
that
got in.
That would be a hard, no, absolutely not. God, but, like, that would have been a really hard thing to deal with.
Donna.
Because there were probably some of Noah's relatives out there pounding on the door. And then he had to see all the dead carcasses floating by, too. So it was pretty anguishing for him, I imagine.
It reminds me of the story of the bridegroom and the virgins that were prepared and unprepared, and when the door was closed, that was it. You lost your chance. But this, a wooden boat, with no water to ever swell a wooden boat, this thing would have leaked like a sieve because it hadn't been swelled, a wooden boat. So, like, that's the kind of stuff that I think about that you don't really think about in this story. Like, Noah would have used the animals for battles, so they would have had to have been placed strategically in the ship to weight the ship correctly, and the boat had never seen wood, had never seen water before, so it was going to leak everywhere. But God knew all of these things and took care of all these things to ensure that the design of it was going to work exactly the way that he needed it to work.
And when they went in, it says God sealed the door. I think we know the ark, I don't think he seen the people who were drowning, because if I'm understanding correctly, it gets into, it all was sealed, and the window that was up at the top, that's where they let the dove out of, was from the top. But yeah, he would have known all of his friends and everything were drowning that red skin dude.
As Donna mentioned, there are other accounts of this, other narratives. One of the big ones is Gilgamesh, who's in the ark. He created one, but Moses went into the detail in that God closed the door for them, whereas all the other accounts, man closed his own door. So, it's so timeless. He wrote it to disprove all the other accounts that are up there.
As to the leaking, God had Noah pitch it within and without with pitch. So that would probably cover any leaks, because he knew it had to float for that 150 days. So he wasn't going to leave that as a failure. He wasn't going to fail.
And in verse 16, the very end of it, it said, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. That tells me God shut the door and sealed it for him when he went in. It tells us how long it rained and the waters prevailed greatly upon it. Verse 16 is where I'm at, where he closed the door. And to me, to be on that ship, and God taking and sealing and closing that door and putting you in and you knowing it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, I can see all this other. I can see doing the work, building the ark and all. That took a lot of faith to be sealed in that wooden building, as you could call it, with all them animals, not knowing what's going to happen and everything. To me, that is something else of having faith. Because what are you going to do with all them animals without God? God taking care of you for you. And then verse 17, the ark floated. That was the big event. It floated. Matt?
Well, we know it took a lot of faith on Noah's behalf with it never raining and building this great big ship. But really, we see that confirmation there where he gets in and you can see, I mean, if we can imagine the door closing, to us it would be on its own as God closes it. But when the door closes, that's confirmation right there that maybe Noah's family thought, he may be a little crazy. We're going to go along with him, but this is a little crazy. But I can just see all of them as the door's closing, their eyes getting real big and thinking,
yeah,
this is really what he said it was.
This took some faith, did it, Debbie? Yeah.
There had to be some claustrophobic people. Yeah. And those eight big
daddy. Yeah, like, and it was pitch black inside the ark. There's no windows.
Yeah.
And they're using fire for light with a bunch of straw and stinky animals around. I mean, it was just probably miserable inside of there.
Ocean sickness.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, get Sam, and then I'm going to go on because I want to get my conclusion in.
Just for comment, I made the trip up there to see the ark, and I would highly recommend it. Yeah. It's a little pricey. A lot of us carpooled up to go see it. And it's a lot prettier than what this thing would have been. But, and they go into some theories about how everything was done. But it was well worth, I think, the trip.
Good. I intend on doing it, but I don't know when. Okay, it tells us that the water prevailed. There are three parts. It increased greatly and the ark floated. It increased and covered all of the mountains everywhere. And it increased 15 cubits to prevail. To prevail on that means to be very strong. All the high mountains, all flesh, all mankind died. Noah and those of the ark were saved. Tells us it was clearly universal, all the earth. It also prevailed upon the earth 150 days or 5 months. Okay, some scientists say the flood was local and not universal. But let's look at it this way. There are fish fossils that are found on high mountains all over the world. We've seen some when we went out to the Rocky Mountains, which then is more practical that happened, that it was a complete universal flood. Now then, the point I wanted to conclude with this morning. A question people asked is, how long did it take Noah to build the ark? I answered 120 years for no telling how many years. Then the second time I read through the Bible, I come to this and I got caught up on it. It took me a while in this. Because I've always thought, God here simply declared a period of grace before he would destroy the world. When he was speaking of the giving the 120 years. God determined to destroy the earth several years before he revealed the decision to Noah. Read chapter 6, verse 18. It says, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark. You, catch this, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. Now Noah had sons that were grown and they were married. It tells us his first son was born when Noah was 500 years old. Chapter 5 and verse 32. So the earliest that God spoke to Noah of the ark, he was how old? The earliest, if his first son was born when Noah was 500 years old, now when he was old enough to have sons that was married, so how old were he when he spoke to him?
But they may not have been married at that time. You know, God...
That's a may not.
They knew they were going to be wives.
What's the difference in considering it that way than considering 120 years prior to it? My point is, we don't know whether it was 120 years. We don't know whether it was 75 years or really how long it is.
He preached for 120 years.
Right.
I know that.
Right. But when he promised about the ark, he said, you, your sons, and your sons' wives will go in. So if we consider him 25 years old, whatever. But we know from 532 that his son was already 100 years old.
He had grandchildren.
Yeah.
No
idea. Yeah. Or less. Still even longer than my life. So to say we know he let Noah know 120 years before, but we don't know at what time he started on the ark. I just wanted to throw that in for you to think about, because I used to always be quick to say it took him 120 years to build an ark. But you can't prove that. Ain't no way you can prove that. It could be anywhere from 120 to about 70 or 75. Okay? Am I making sense? I hope I get you stirred up enough on it that you will study it to see what you personally think about.
Now you're saying that the 70 or 75 could be on top of the 120 years.
No, less than the 120.
Less than the 120, okay.
Good man.
Yeah, because if you look at chapter 7 and verse 6, Noah was 600 when the floodwaters came.
Right.
And he was 500 when he had his children. Yeah. So
it could be 120, yeah.
It's less. We don't know how much less.
He didn't even have any children at 120 years. So it had to have been long enough for him to have children and then them be grown and married, or God told Noah something that he didn't even know at the time.
That could be it. I mean,
yeah.
The way God told Abraham he would have to be very fruitful before he had anything.
But there's somewhat else there, you know. It's all some speculation. But I just want to throw that in for us to think about it, because anytime you study Scripture, you got to study more than just each individual, each individual verse. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you for that.
I got one in there now. I just don't like the taste with one in my mouth.
Oh, Mallory.
Hey, how about? Just so you know, I'm here with you on Saturday.
Well, my sister just went up there too. She went up
out of Peter to cover this.
It was a hard one. There's theories on how it went.
But you and I, we just got out here with wood. If it was a big boat, it'd be a 50-50 whether or not it would.
Hey, I built a 16 by 32 shed one time.
Yeah.
Lamps.
Right angle. And that's the number of flags and rivers. That'll be keeping their
this little
line. That'll be keeping it lit with their oil baths.
Yeah. You know, and how we incorporate all that in.
I like it. So I was actually then it up to you, because I know I had said about us getting to there eventually. So the next couple weeks I will be like crazy busy, which I believe will only be available like on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday evening.
Okay.
And I didn't know if that worked for you or not.
That will make it work.
Okay.
Because I was actually supposed to work this Saturday, but circumstances that I have my contract wrapping up and one is actually down.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that the placement part would be in, but it's not.
Yeah, so I am.
I have fall PE. I have the FedEx
corner. School full 30.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I like a little temporary job for a friend of Amanda's that goes to Eastside. He has his own cleaning company. Uh-huh. And they're doing all the dorm apartments. So he hired like 20 people to help with it. So he'll be working nights after every day. So, yeah, so Sunday's going to be like my only day off with no work, which is fine because it's only for like 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I can do it in 2.5 weeks. It's fine. But it's